couple of things that you can find at our website at kfjo.com under my blog. So many opinions, so little time. A couple of new posts today. One of them is the raw video of the white supremacist at the Leith, North Dakota City Council meeting. I embedded that video off Leith, North Dakota's Facebook page onto my blog and explained what it's all about. It's kind of been out there in the bleeped out fashion. Yesterday afternoon is where I first saw it, and I just put the raw video out there. And so I warn you, if you go to my blog and you check that out, the video is uncensored, and it's the definition of raw video. And so you can see what exactly happened at the Leith, North Dakota City Council meeting with the white supremacist who was eventually escorted out by law enforcement. And another blog today, this is an interesting one, kind of a funny one in a way, and you'll have to read all about all the details on my blog. But long story short, Morehead City Councilman candidate David Hallman, First Ward, he has a website that's incredibly similar. In fact, it's almost the same as the Detroit Democratic Council. Does that make sense? Detroit Democratic Council, Detroit, Michigan, that is, large city, has almost the exact same website as David Hallman, including the exact same values. Mr. Hallman has the same values listed as the Detroit Democratic Council. How is that? Why is that? How could this possibly happen that a person who is the former Clay County Republican chairman, David Hallman, now running for city council, how could he have the same values listed exactly word for word as the Detroit Democratic Council? You'll have to go to my blog at kfjo.com to find out. Interesting story. And I'm just going to say this, the Detroit Democratic Council's web person is not all innocent in this either. Go check it out at kfjo.com. In studio with us, originally scheduled for a later time, but upon hearing my voice on the radio, he ran across the street because he thought he was messing up. His name is Tyler Axness. He's a state senator from Fargo. Hello, Tyler.
Hi, Mike. Doing well. Caught my breath over the break, so we'll be ready to go and have a conversation.
Can I get you a glass of ice water? Throw a bucket of water on you to cool you down here after this.
Well, you know, thankfully it's cool enough outside. We have that fall temperature. I didn't break too much of a sweat that block that I sprinted.
Are you okay after watching the Vikings game last night? Before we get to the meat and potatoes, what we're going to talk about, have you recovered from this?
You know, well, disclaimer, I'm not a Minnesota Vikings fan per se. I do support the team.
You're a Cowboys fan.
It's a funny story. Growing up, and I know...
So you are.
When I was growing up, you know, a little immature, didn't quite have my wits about me yet, I was a Dallas Cowboys fan. Kind of decided that I had enough of this team, was looking for something new, and that's when the Carolina Panthers came into the league in about 97. Yeah, I know, I get that look a lot when I bring this up. But when you have a game like last week, you can kind of see that maybe we're on the up and up, and I might have made the right decision there. But, you know, I support the Vikings. It was an ugly game to watch. I've seen the questions, was Freeman thrown in too early? I tend to agree with that. But, you know, I did see that he had 53 attempts.
53 pass attempts. When he had 3 days of practice.
3 days of practice. And you have probably the best running back in the league in Adrian Peterson getting 13 carries. That says something about the coaching staff to me.
Well, and the thing that, you know, last night, the bashing, and we'll get away from this and talk serious stuff here in a second, but the bashing started last night after Freeman really started sucking badly. And then after the game, it was Steve Young and Trent Dilfer on ESPN's postgame. They were just ripping apart Leslie Frazier and ripping apart the Vikings organization. And I'm sitting there watching it on my couch. Sadly, I watched the entire game and the postgame. And I said, wait a second. Nobody questioned Frazier, the Vikings, before the game for playing Freeman. Nobody said, wait, is he ready for this? Right. Nobody did that, including me. Because I said, yeah, put him in there. It's fine. But then once it became clear that he wasn't anywhere near ready, then all of a sudden they start attacking.
Yeah, and I saw that play out on social media all over my Facebook, Twitter, and hindsight's always 20/20.
It is. That's the beautiful thing about being a talk show. Hindsight's always 20/20. Okay, the reason I wanted to have you in is you have out there on social media been raising some questions about some organizations like the North Dakota Chamber of Commerce coming out and saying, look, this conservation-initiated measure that's out there that the public is... You know, sign the petitions, this thing's going to be on the ballot, all these different things. The Chamber of Commerce is out there saying this is going to be bad for the state because it's going to take away funds from Western North Dakota. It's going to take away funds. You know, we can't be taking this oil money and putting it towards conservation because it's going to cost the people of the state who need it most. You've come out and said, wait a second here. Are these the same people who are supporting a cut in the oil extraction tax that would, oh, by the way, take away money from Western North Dakota and the people of North Dakota? You're pointing out the hypocrisy saying, wait, isn't it the same thing? What's going on here?
Well, you know, and Mike, and to bring this up, you know, we almost have to go back to the 63rd legislative session that just ended this last May. We had a number of proposals in front of us, one of them being an outdoor measure. I actually sponsored a bill that is similar to what is going to potentially be on the ballot if the people of the state decide to sign onto the petition. You know, people like the chamber, people like the Petroleum Council did come out against that measure, unfortunately, because, you know, this shouldn't be really just debated in the legislature. My proposal would have taken it to the public for this discussion to be raised to the level that I think it deserves to be. But we have these same individuals that are coming out saying that this is going to take away from the infrastructure needs in Western North Dakota. It's going to take away from some of the school funding that we passed this last legislative session. But, oh, by the way, we would like to get an oil extraction tax cut that over 5 years is going to cost $1.3 billion to this state. Well, there's a lot of state needs that will go unmet if that tax cut would have passed, which it was brought up three times in both chambers of the Republican-led legislature passed an extraction tax cut. But thankfully, there was enough uproar in the state, you know, the people that were paying attention, that it did not go to the governor's desk for signature. It was defeated. But this, there's a disconnect in the fact that we have this money that we're trying to set aside for what I consider state needs, preserving our outdoors. You know, that's a big industry in the state. Where I grew up near Devil's Lake, you know all about it. You travel up there. You spend money on lodging. You spend money on food, just enjoying what we have to offer as a state for our outdoors. That's an industry. The small town I grew up in, busiest time of the year, October through December. Those bars, those restaurants, those lodging, that's when they make their money. And the disconnect that, you know, we can't support those small Main Street businesses, but we can give a corporate income tax cut of $250 million, 82% of it going out of state, not to state needs, just doesn't seem to make sense to me. And I think it's a smart debate that we should have as a state.
The conservation measure, if people are just tuning in, maybe they don't know the exact details of what's happening here. Give us the Cliff's Notes version of what that's all about, Tyler.
Well, you know, I haven't been involved in this new measure coming out, but what it is taking a percentage of the oil extraction tax and putting it into a fund, which would be used to make sure that the water in the state is clean, that the natural habitat that you can't give a tax cut to is preserved, that parks that is, you know, huge in Fargo here, that they are getting the funds necessary to make sure that people in the state and people from all over the world actually are able to enjoy what we have to offer for outdoors.
Now, when it comes to the oil extraction tax, do we know that this is going to come up again in the state? Because it's been, you know, we had Ed Schaefer again going across the state in the bus, and we had this come up in the legislature. It's been defeated, I think you said, what, about three times now?
My recollection of the 63rd session was it was either brought up in a separate bill or amended onto another bill. Mm-hmm. Three separate times we debated this.
And it was defeated every time. Do we know for sure it's going to come up again?
I have some suspicion that it will. You know, it's interesting we talk about that it was brought up three times in the 63rd session. At that same time when we were getting the debate going on lowering the tax or keeping it steady, we find out that there's three times more recoverable oil than originally thought. The oil is here. But my understanding is, you know, we're in this period of interim committee meetings. And on October 31st, there's going to be an Energy Development and Transmission Committee meeting. And I have heard that the focus of that meeting is going to be on the extraction tax rate. You know, and I find that a little misleading, or not misleading, but, you know, it's not the appropriate time to be talking about this when we have an oil spill about a million barrels or a million gallons worth up in the Tioga region. I think we should be focusing on how we make sure that doesn't happen again and not talking about an extraction rate.
So there's going to be, so in this legislative council, the fact of the extraction tax is going to come up again. You've heard that, or
that's what I've heard. Okay. And it's on the agenda, that tax policy for the energy industry.
What's driving this? Is it strictly, my cynicism says it's the oil industry going to Republican legislators saying, you know what, we need this cut. We want to get more money going to Oklahoma, get more money going to Texas. We want more money down in Oklahoma City. Is it that simple that it's the Republican-led legislature that's just going to keep coming back and back and back until they get an oil extraction tax?
You know, Mike, I hope not. One thing that I seem to notice out in the session this time, this was my first session, but there is a fear that if we don't lower this tax rate, that the industry is going to up and leave. And as I just said, we just discovered through technology, there's three times more recoverable oil in this state. They're not going to go anywhere. But there's this fear that they will pick up and leave and that we're going to have an oil boom. And I'm just not seeing it. I'm really not. And I really hope that we can get past this and really address what the needs are. You know, we have people from the industry themselves. I heard Jack Ekstrom on Joel Heidkamp's show a couple weeks ago saying that lowering the tax rate right now before the needs in Western North Dakota are met is ludicrous and unwise. And yet here we are talking about potentially doing that again in an upcoming session.
Tyler Axness, he's a state senator from Fargo. He's our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. I'm receiving all kinds of text messages, Pinto, questioning my take on football. And keep in mind, it's strictly theoretical. I don't have a son, so who's to say if I did actually have a son that I would advise him to not play football or not allow him to play football? But I'm striking a nerve with people are mad at me because I wouldn't allow my son, who doesn't exist, to not play football.
I don't know why it's a choice. Maybe it's because it's football and you're being scared and now they think you're going to take away guns or something. I don't know what's going on. They're making some kind of connection.
None have questioned my manhood so far, but it's starting to go down that road in some ways. I'll read some of the text messages after the bottom of the hour after we get State Senator Tyler Axness back to his job here in Fargo. He is with us. We're talking about the oil extraction tax. It sounds like it's going to come up again in the legislature again sometime in the future when it gets back in session, and this conservation measure that hopefully is going to be on the ballot before the people of North Dakota. And I was thinking, Senator, this is one of those things that the legislature sometimes cannot be trusted to. No offense to you. The legislature can sometimes not be trusted, period. And also it cannot be trusted to fully vet and fully give people of the state of North Dakota the chance to have the public debate over some of these issues. And I look at this conservation measure and I look at how important the outdoors are to people in the state, whether you're in Williston or Dickinson or Devil's Lake or Fargo or Wahpeton. And this seems to me to be one of those things that needs to be publicly debated among the citizens of the state.
Well, you know, I tend to agree with that. That is why when I introduced this in the session, it was going to be a public debate.
Right.
This was, you know, had the legislature allowed the public to vote on this, that would have been the case. You know, since the session's been done, we've seen it editorialized. We've heard it talked about on talk shows. It's time for the public to debate this. But to do that, you know, we need an open, honest, and serious discussion about that. And for that discussion to happen, you know, we have to make sure that special interest groups aren't being disingenuous to our people in the state and in what this measure is going to do. You know, we talk about state needs. Well, you know, to me, this is one of those state needs. This is what, you know, this is our heritage as North Dakota. Mm-hmm. You have the Killdeer Mountains. You have the Badlands. You have all these natural, beautiful places that we want to preserve, that brings people in, that brings tourism, that helps those small town Main Street businesses thrive throughout the year on a short amount of time in which people from all over the country are coming to hunt and fish. This is a North Dakota need. You can't cut taxes on natural habitat, but you can make an investment in those programs that preserves it, in which it's going to benefit the businesses of the state.
What I hope would happen at some point in North Dakota's history, and again, full disclosure, I'm a resident of Minnesota, so I need to watch my own house as well. But it seems like the sportsmen in North Dakota, the people who fish, the people who hunt, and God, what's the number? 100,000 people deer hunt in North Dakota. 1/6 of the population gets out in the field and deer hunts. They need to get more active in these things. They need to become more and not worrying so much about, people taking their guns away, which is not going to happen. Not worrying so much about keeping non-residents out of the state, which was a debate we went through 10 years ago. I think sportsmen in North Dakota and non-residents like myself who enjoy the North Dakota outdoors, we need to step up and say, look, you know, this matters to the future. This matters to the future of the state, and we need to activate, and we need to mobilize and get on the side of conservation and the right side of this issue.
You know, Mike, I agree. And when I introduced my measure out in the legislature, overnight over 70 people showed up to support that measure. Unfortunately, the legislature didn't listen. You know, they passed an alternative that doesn't have an impact that I think will be really meaningful for the state. But I really hope that there will be this outpouring of support from the sportsmen. And like you said, there's a lot of them out there. And you mentioned deer hunters in the state. Well, this season, 40,000 plus North Dakota hunters were turned down for a deer tag because of loss of habitat. There was a lot of people upset about that. But, you know, we need to take the initiative amongst ourselves to make sure that legislation's in place, that programs are there to support these kind of measures.
Tyler Axton, State Senator from Fargo. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for stopping
by. Thanks for having me.
And just this update, I know you care a lot about the Clinton Gracefield Beardsley football team. They are ahead 24-0 right now. That's the update from down south.
Nothing like high school football.
Gotta love high school football. Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate that. 237-59.